The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR.
You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. And as you well know by now, Peter Tureen's great musical attraction this December and into January is the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Cats. And it's a famous musical, as we all know. Just recently, in fact, I was speaking to Louis Zunama, who's the music director. But today, I have with me Matt Kashan, who is the assistant choreographer and choreography director. And Matt trained at the London Studio Centre. He's worked extensively as a performer, choreographer, and creative across the West End, international tours, and new musical development. And a list of the shows he's been in would take up most of the show. So we'll skip that, Matt, but welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to see you here. You're telling me that it's your first visit to Cape Town.
It is, yes, and I'm absolutely loving it.
When you get a call to say, would you go to a far-off place like Cape Town, how do you feel? Do you think, wow, that'll be good? Oh, my goodness, what am I in for? What does it feel like to be asked to do a show like this?
It's really exciting, and I had many years where I didn't travel a lot. I was always in London, and then even COVID happened, obviously, and then I went back to the West End, and then since then, every job I've had has been international, and it is very exciting. You know you're going to have to work hard, but of course, seeing amazing places, staying in beautiful hotels, traveling the world whilst you're working is just incredible.
Ideal,
yeah, yeah. So I'm very lucky.
And so you got a call to come to Cape Town.
I did.
What did you know about Cape Town before that? Or what did you think? Was it what you imagined? Or was it very different?
It is, because it's funny. I never really had any connections with South Africa. I didn't really know anyone. But in the last year, doing Chicago, we had a lot of cast members from South Africa. Brittany being one that is actually in this version of Cats as well. So I started to have lots of friends from South Africa, and they would say to me, oh, Matt, you are going to love Cape Town. My friend Jenna lives here in Cape Town, and she always said, you would love Cape Town, just knowing me and my personality and loving being outdoors and, you know, being athletic and loving exercise, all those things. She just would always, and the food, I love food, I love wine. So they always,
you're in the right place.
Yeah, so they said you would love it, and then just, you know, the universe just made it happen, got the phone call. Yeah, and they were right. I really do love it here.
How far ahead do you get the phone call? How far ahead of when it all starts? A year ago, 6 months ago?
No, not actually that. Well, in a good, it's a good thing because I never know what's going to be happening. So the Chicago, I was doing the international tour of Chicago. That finished in June, I want to say. And as, you know, as a performer, I had no idea what was going to come next because I'd been in China. I couldn't audition for anything. Or so I was doing, as you do, I was teaching fitness. I was teaching dance, just doing jobs here and there to, you know, pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then a text from Chrissy just checking it because she never knows if I'm going to be free, as none of us do being freelance. But luckily at that point I was, and you know, she said, okay, I'll get back to you. I sort of fingers crossed. And she didn't say what it was because she didn't, I guess she didn't want to talk about it until I'd said I was free and it was all confirmed.
Oh, so she didn't even say it was Cats?
I knew it was Cats because that's our connection.
Okay.
But I didn't know. Well, I presumed it was. It's that thing you sort of work it out because I knew Cats was happening here. So you just hope that that's what it's going to be. And then I wasn't sure how long I'd be here. You know, so when the offer first came through, they didn't say how long I'd be here. But I'm here for 7 weeks working on the show, and then with a holiday, 8 weeks. So, yeah, just perfect amount of time to get to know Cape Town.
Absolutely. So when you say holiday, that's when the show has opened, and then you've still got a week to actually just relax
yes.
and enjoy
yeah.
Cape Town.
So the show will continue, which will be strange for me because I've never done that. I've always been a creative that then stays with the show. So this is my first time of teaching the show and then leaving them. So it's going to feel very strange.
And I bet you'll pop in on one occasion
before
you go
back. Maybe, yes. check on them.
But I just want to get the right thing. I said you were an assistant choreographer and director. So obviously you've also been an actor. You've been an actor and dancer.
Yes.
And now you've turned your attention to choreography.
Yes, because when I first started 21 years ago, my first job was Cats, the musical.
Oh.
And I was Swing, which means I covered all the male ensemble and I covered Tugger and Munkerstrap. So probably about 6 to 8 parts in total. So you have to learn them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then if someone goes off sick or if they're on holiday, you then step in to the role. So that was the first time I did the show, but with no responsibilities. And I was only 23. Then I did it again. I was Swing, then I played Macavity. Then when it came to the Palladium, which was quite a big deal, I played Munkerstrap. And that was my first lead for me in my career as my own. I wasn't covering, it was my part, which I loved. On that time, I stayed for 3 contracts, so nearly 3 years. I went from just being Munkerstrap to dance captain. So that means, yeah, you look after the choreography once the show's up and running. Then I came back again for, and I did it in Korea, and that was the first time I was resident. So I was Munkerstrap as well, but resident. So as I said, I was with the show the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I was in it, but I took all the cover rehearsals, kept the show clean, made sure the all the intentions remained, you know, make sure everyone's behaving,
yes.
All those things.
I like the way you say you keep the show clean. In other words, that people haven't got a little lazy.
Yeah, and it's natural that things slightly change or, you know, or someone forgets the storytelling or, yeah, or someone just, yeah, some people get lazy or some people just forget what a certain movement was. You know, it's, I mean, it's the joy of theatre is that it's live and it's, you know, it could be different every show, you know, rather than watching a film. But there's also that thing of, yeah, human error happens and
of course,
that's my job to keep it clean, keep the storytelling, keep everyone engaged.
I want to talk more about that practical side, Matt, in a moment. But your first piece of music is from Chicago,
yes.
All that jazz.
Yeah.
Is there a reason you've chosen this?
Well, as a young person who loved musical theatre, I didn't really know where I was going to go. And I saw Chicago and it kind of changed my mindset, as in I wanted... It was the first time I said, I want to be that dancer. So it wasn't I wanted to be, you know, I didn't... It was, say, I'd wanted to be Tony in West Side Story. But that was the first time I saw a show and I was like, I want to be that dancer in the ensemble. And it actually changed my outlook on everything. And so I really got into dancing at that point. And everyone in Chicago, you know, when you get the program and you scan through it, nearly every ensemble member had been to London Studio Centre, the school that I'd never heard of before that. And that is the school that I went to. So Chicago has a big part of my life and my career. And it was my dream. Cats has become my ultimate dream. But back then, my dream was to be in Chicago, be that man in the leather waistcoat on the West End. And, you know, luckily I did achieve that dream.
Good.
About 6 years ago. So it's a very important show to me. I love the music. I love the choreography. Yeah, so that was why I chose that song, because it kind of did shape me as a performer and the way my career went, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have gone to such a dance-heavy school. I probably would have gone to a more acting, singing school, because I was just in that period of which way would I go. But Chicago just spoke to me that I just wanted to dance, and yeah, so that's why I chose that song.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna lose my knees and pull my stockings down. And all that jazz, start the car, I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl and all of that jazz. jazz. Oh, sink your hair and wear your buckled shoes. And all that jazz, I hear that Father Dip is gonna blow the blues. And all that jazz, hold on, hon, we're gonna bunny hug. I bought some aspirin down at United Drug. And we shall shake apart and want a brand new start to do a that jazz.
So that's final, huh, Fred?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, kiddo.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah.
Nobody walks out on me.
Music from the West End recording of Chicago, All That Jazz, one of the famous pieces from that famous show. And we talk about another very famous show, Cats, which opens here on the 10th of December at Artscape, a Peter Turin production. And today I'm talking to Matt Koshan, who is the assistant choreographer and director. And Matt, I wanted to say, to be on a show like Cats for so long, I mentioned this to Louis as well, I want to say, don't you get bored, but that's not the way I want to phrase the question. How do you stop from getting bored? How do you keep it up all that time?
I think specifically with Cats, there is, you know, and I'm experiencing it firsthand right now in the studio, because I haven't done the show for 3 years, so, but there is so much detail in the show. From the choreography, every step has a meaning, every step is storytelling. The direction is so precise, the storytelling, the thought process that you have. And Cats is an amazing show where you, as a performer, make your own decisions. There's lots of improvisation, and you have your character, but it's what you individually bring to that character. There is so much singing. We were talking about it the other day. You know, people think it's a dance show, but the actual singing that everyone has to do, you don't stop, you know. a normal ensemble show, you do a number, you go and sit in Wardrobe Village for half an hour and you change your shoes and you wait till the next scene. Cats, you're on stage for the entire show and it's basically sung through. So I just personally couldn't ever get bored. There's so much to think about. There's so much to get right. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so, and I love feeling like I've worked really hard. So there's that real physicality to the show. I mean,
it is very acrobatic, isn't it? Just the bits, when I've seen it before, the cast have to be very fit if they're singing as well.
Yeah, the choreography is this incredible fusion of ballet and jazz, which Gillian Lynn is just was a master at. But also the fact that every step, as I said, has a meaning and is telling part of the story. There's so much detail in every step. Every pore has to be in the right place, every head alignment, you know. That just makes it so interesting to do as a performer. And there's so much of it. And, you know, a large part of the show is the Jellicle Ball, which is a 12, 14-minute pure dance section, which again, you just don't get in other shows.
No. Is the show strictly controlled by the owners of the show in London? Your choreography, for example, is that all been planned before and you've got to carry it out? You can't change things.
No, yeah. So that's why Chrissy, I guess, employs people like me, because we just want it to be so authentic to Gillian's work. And I was lucky enough to work with Gillian quite a lot, especially at the Palladium. And we just want to keep it in its original form, you know, keep it as authentic as it should be to what Gilly wanted. Yeah. And I know Chrissy's very passionate about that, and so am I. So, yes, of course, small things have to change because of different size of the stage, different staging. The auditorium might be different, but the actual steps and the elements to the steps have been the same for 44 years now.
Is it that old, Cats?
It's the same age as me. The Cats opened.
Now we know your age, yeah.
Cats opened in 1981, the year I was born, yeah.
My goodness, so it's really, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been out of being performed, I don't think, somewhere
don't think
in the world.
So, yeah, it's always on somewhere. Mm. And yes, there are slightly different, you know, as with anything, when it's been in Japan for years or on Broadway, there's of course like a, there can be a slight change, because that's just, again, like we talked about, human.
Yes,
you know, it's
yes.
just what happens. But the main focus of the show and the steps have all come from, yeah, from Gillian Lynn, from what she created 44 years ago.
Just tell me about Gillian. She died relatively recently, didn't she?
Yes. Well, I think it was about, I want to say 6 to 8 years ago. Yes, it was.
What was her full name?
Dame Gillian Lynn. Gillian right, Lynn. Right. And the theatre that Cats originated in was the New London Theatre, but it was, has now been renamed the Gillian Lynn Theatre. And that's actually the last time I saw her. We had a sort of ceremony to rename the theatre, and we carried her on stage on a throne.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, it was amazing. She died, I think, about 2 weeks later.
Who has taken over from her?
Chris, is, so it's Chrissy Cartwright, who I assist.
Yes, she, on this production here.
She, around the world, she does it. So she worked very closely with Gilly for, I think, or definitely over 30 years.
Right.
So she looked after the show at the New London Theatre, but then when it started to travel the world, and she's done productions everywhere, all around the world. And especially because Gilly would have been busy with Phantom. She was choreographer of Phantom of the Opera. She had her own other shows. So timing-wise, if Gilly couldn't be there for the whole rehearsal period, Chrissy would teach the show, and then Gilly would come and sprinkle her magic. So Chrissy knows every detail. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. She only arrived yesterday. But
yes, you were saying to me that you've been on your own since, and now she's just arrived to help you and take over from you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, you know, Chrissy would say she's teaching us Trevor and Gillian's original work, and I'm teaching what I've learned from Chrissy. I guess that's life, isn't it?
It
that's,
is, yes,
that we're
of course.
Just passing on the information and wanting it to be as authentic and as accurate as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've been spending 3 weeks literally thinking, what would Chrissy say now? What would Gilly have said? And I also, when a Gillian Lynn story comes into my head, I tell the company, because we really want her legacy to keep on going. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helps by just telling them stories.
It's
about
a nice
Gillian.
Loyalty, that, isn't it,
yes.
to her? That's the main thing. Let's have another piece of music, Matt. Life by Desiree.
Mm-hmm.
What's this about?
Well, not to get too morbid, but this is actually the song that I want played at my funeral.
Okay. So we not won't to, get morbid.
Yeah, but the song is very bright and full of hope and, you know, a good outlook on life.
Okay.
So it's just a song that I really like.
We'll think of you enjoying it and not at your funeral.
Yes.
As we listen
Thank
to it
you.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, life. life, oh life. I'm afraid of the dark, especially when I'm in a park and there's no one else around. Ooh, I get the shivers. I don't wanna see a ghost. It's a sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast, watch the evening news. Life, oh life, oh life, oh life. Girl, I'm the worst in the world. Never walk under ladders. I keep a rabbit's tail. I'll take you up on a dare. Anytime, anywhere. Name the place, I'll be there. Bungee jumping, I don't care. Life, oh life, oh life, oh life. Do, 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 do. Life, oh life, oh life. The only one. Life indeed can be fun if you really want to. Sometimes living out your dreams ain't as easy as it seems. You wanna fly around the world in a beautiful balloon. Life, oh life, oh life, oh life. Do, 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 do. Life, oh life, oh life.
That's a song called Life by Desiree, and it was the choice of my guest, Matt Kashan, here on People of Note on Fine Music Radio. We're talking about Cats, which is about to open here at Artscape on the 10th of December. It's the big Christmas musical, and it is a big musical as well, isn't it, Matt? It's a, it's big. It's got a large cast, and I gather that a number of the cast members here have not done it before. They're all pretty well new to the show.
Yes, so that was a very new experience for me because Cats is so long running, you generally have at least half to a third of company members that have done the show before.
Yeah.
But yes, this time everyone is brand new.
You must have felt rather apprehensive when you arrived here. Yeah. No one had done the show.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because it does make the process longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of would question myself, like, oh, why isn't it working? You know, why haven't we found it yet? But then actually, it's really interesting to watch because it makes everything so fresh. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes you would watch someone who's done the show before and maybe not make your own choice. So it's amazing that this group of actors are finding the show together.
Yes.
It's really new and individual, unique. Yeah, it's a very interesting process.
And as a nice challenge for you as well.
Totally.
It makes you work a little harder, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, we were talking about the choreography, how athletic it is. And I remember when I saw it here, I thought it was London, I can't remember which one. I was wondering if the tails of the cat would ever get caught in anything. Mm-hmm. So you've got to, because the costumes are very elaborate, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the nature of the show. So the choreography must be accommodating for all these things.
Yeah, the tails can be, it's that funny thing. We actually did a nice ceremony on Saturday where, because we've been rehearsing without the tails, but we did some cat work where we get people to close their eyes and imagine basically their body changing from a human body to a cat body. And we talk about where the ear placement is, where the whiskers, the tail, how your spine is a different, it's longer and more flexible. So we did that on Saturday morning. And then when they opened their eyes, they had their tails on the floor next to them. It was a very, very sweet moment.
That sounds rather moving, actually.
Yeah, it was actually, yeah. Sure. And then again, yeah, it's memories for me to remember how I felt 21 years ago, how mm-hmm. the excitement I had at 21 years ago.
Yeah. This ceremony you had, sorry to interrupt you, was that with costumes or you're not in costumes?
No, so you're just in your rehearsal wear. But actually, the tail is the main part of the costume that affects you. Mm-hmm. Everything else is the lycra is basically to your skin. The leg warmers actually help because you can crawl much easier on the ground because you've got these leg warmers and arm warmers. But the tail is the one thing that you need to rehearse with because it can throw you off slightly. And like you said, it can get caught on things. It can hit people.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch especially carefully for the tails on that night. The costumes seem to me to be hot, surely, because it's all that fur. And as I say, the makeup on the faces is very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So do they get hot? It is summer in Africa.
Yes, you do. You do sweat quite a lot, yeah.
Yes.
And obviously the wig covers your human ears. So you actually, your head is quite enclosed by the wig. Yeah, full makeup. I mean, some people, literally on your fingertips are the bits of skin that are showing because you wear gloves, full lycra, leg warmers, arm warmers, sometimes a collar. Yeah, so very sweaty. I would, maybe it's too much information, but I'd make a point of not wanting to go to the bathroom during the show because there is nothing worse than taking off a sweaty leotard and then having to put it back on. So, yes.
I shall remember that as well.
Yes, there is a lot of sweat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing choreography-wise, as you were saying about the movements and your body becomes like a cat, that must be a challenge to choreographers. I suppose you approach the world of ballet with that because the feline movements are so famous, aren't they? It's mm-hmm. why people love cats.
Yes. Yeah, so we talk about finding a feline, a felinity, an animalistic way of moving. So we talk about that throughout the improvisation, but actually you then realize how well the show is choreographed by Gillian Lynn because she has somehow combined ballet, jazz, and these cat movements into a form of dance. So actually, yeah, even unknowingly when we first start teaching the choreography and we talk about contraction in the tummy, so your body become, we don't stand upright like humans, we're in this contraction. Your paws are heavier than your hands would be, so your arms are much longer in how you hold your arms. It would be so much different as a cat than to a human. And actually, Gilly has choreographed it to incorporate that. Mm-hmm. And that change, the way a cat, one point, can be very calm and, almost like they're meditating, and then the next second could attack. So there's so much of that in the choreography, which makes it so interesting, but also so cat-like.
Because I've spoken to you, I'm not really a cat person, I'm a dog person.
Me too, actually.
Oh, that's interesting from you. But I've spoken to people who've seen the show before, and they say it's uncanny, actually, how the actors manage to get these feline movements mm-hmm. so, so well in all this excitement of the music and mm-hmm. the sound and everything. Gilly, that you were talking about, you might have told me this, but I can't remember. Was she the first choreographer? Did she work show when it was produced the first time?
She was. She created all the movement. This sort of language of movement.
Does Andrew Lloyd Webber get involved with the actual choreography or those?
No.
Early, he writes the music and leaves
it.
Then he leaves it to the Trevor Nuns.
I believe so. I mean, I mean, obviously, I wasn't there. I was just born, but yes. Having worked on
a bit young.
Yeah, but when I've worked on a few shows as a choreographer, and it's very, it should be, and that's what makes good theatre a collaborative experience. Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, sometimes the choreographer will say, I'd like to portray this story. Can you write me the music? Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. I've written this piece of music. Can you please choreograph something that will help tell the story that I, you know, so it should be a very collaborative experience, which I presume it was, because it's such an amazing piece of theatre.
Well, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so different, actually, from anything else mm-hmm. Andrew Lloyd Webber mm-hmm. did. So we're going to have another song, and from the famous La Cage aux Folles, yes. You've asked for I Am What I Am.
Yes.
Almost an anthem, as
yes.
You know. Anything you want to say about this?
Well, La Cage aux Folles was actually my first West End job, so in England, it's very high caliber. That's your goal in life, is as a musical theatre performer, is that when you get on the West End, you know. And it took me 4 or 5 years, and I'd done lots of UK touring, done Cats twice, and La Cage was my first West End job, and it was just very special. It was the Chocolate Factory production. It was just a very, very special time for me. And obviously, yeah, the song is incredible.
That's
the
big song,
the big anthem. Right. Yes, that's why I chose that one.
Good.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. Come take a look, give me the hook, body ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world. And it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey, well, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise, I don't want pity. I bang my own drum, some think it's noise, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each spangle? Why not try to see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. Sometimes he hates, sometimes the deuces. There's one life, and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey, well, I am what I am.
That famous song from La Cage aux Folles, and that was the Broadway cast recording from 2010, I Am What I Am. It was another choice of my guest, Matt Krishan. And we're talking about cats, actually, as I've said, opening here at Artscape with great excitement on the 10th of December. Incidentally, when does the cast get into their costumes for the first time? Because that must, you'll have to, I suppose, be there to help them with these great big costumes on.
Yeah, so we have, so we're in our, what are we in now? We're in our fourth week in the studio. We have one more week in the studio, so we have 5 weeks. And then we go into tech rehearsal, so that's when they will have, that'll be the first time they're on stage in full costume.
And with all the sets and things.
All the set, yeah. Lighting, so that's when we tech lighting.
Is that in the, you're then in the theatre on stage?
Yeah. So that'll be the first time they have everything on. And they're just starting their makeup tutorials this week as well. So that's, again, another thing. All the things you have to do for this show, another thing is to learn how to do a full face of makeup, which they're just starting now.
Do the individuals have to do their makeup?
Yes. So you get trained, and then it's your job to do it yourself, yeah.
Have you seen the stage here?
No, I haven't, actually. So I know that the set that we're using is the one I did used in Korea. Mm-hmm. So I know what it looks like. It's lovely. It's nice, really big and nice, really nice set. But no, I haven't even seen the auditorium here yet.
Oh.
So
that's remiss of you, that.
But I guess it's building the you know, the surprise.
The anticipation.
Yeah, the anticipation of it.
Most, you've probably heard that many people think this is a very good theatre. It's got wonderful big backstage areas, and it's a very comfortable auditorium as well. So the last time I saw it here, I was blown away because I saw one in London, almost in the round.
Yes, that would have been the New London, yeah.
And then I saw it here and I thought, wow, and that was so much more powerful as a result. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about you now, because it sounds as though theatre's been your thing ever since you saw that production of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Was that when you grew up?
No, even before that, we used to watch the American movie musicals.
Oh, yes.
So that's what I wanted to do. I knew, but obviously as a child I didn't realise they don't really, you know, they don't really happen as much anymore, do they? Whereas back in the 50s, obviously, there were so many of them. So I just knew I wanted to do that. And then as I got older, I realised, oh, it's, that's musical theatre now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, from a child, that's what I've always wanted to do.
Did you go into sort of formal training for it all?
I just went to a local Saturday school. I did 3 hours every Saturday, hour of singing, hour of dance, hour of drama. And we would put on musicals.
The famous Triple Threat.
Yes. Yeah.
Which you had to do.
And I think, I mean, I was very shy and very quiet, but I obviously had a talent.
Yeah.
So the first part I ever played was Jesus in Godspell, but I was so young and so I hadn't really sung in front of anyone, and then I'm playing a part like that. My mum and my nan came and they were quite shocked because, you know.
Positively shocked.
Yeah, as in, because I wasn't that child that would, you know, at Christmas want to sing in front of everyone. That wasn't me, but I just knew I wanted to do it. I just loved theatre so much. And there's that element, you know, of, it's not, you're playing a character. It's not you.
Yes.
I don't particularly like doing karaoke, but to sing, be on stage in a musical, it's so funny, isn't it? I can sing a solo in front of 2,000 people in a theatre, fine. But to do karaoke in a pub, I'm like, oh no, I can't do that.
No, I'm glad you can't do that, Matt. What a relief. But, you know, I mentioned a list just now, and all these things you've been in, Matilda, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Chicago, Cats, The Book of Mormon, which we also haven't seen here, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, La Cage, Wicked, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Starlight Express. You've been in them all.
Yeah, I've had a really good career.
Do you have a favorite? I know you're going to say Cats, aren't you?
It is, I'm not saying that for the sake of it. Cats is definitely my favorite, but also because of the journey that I've been on.
Yes.
I've always loved it. To get that first job, first time I did it, I didn't know anything else. You know, it was my first professional job. I loved it then. But the journey that I've had with it, the fact that I played a lead at the Palladium Theatre on the West End, that was such a big deal to me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then to carry on the journey, and then, yeah, to go from 23 years old learning the show to now teaching it 21 years later, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
So Cats is my favourite. Chicago, because it was my dream.
It was your dream.
It was my dream. And I really did have that moment on stage one night where I sort of sat there and I went, you know, whatever happens now, you did live your dream. You are living your dream, you know, and I really had to take stock of that.
What a great feeling that must
be. It was. It really was.
Let's have another piece of music. Time is rushing by here. Lady Gaga, we introduced now to Fine Music Radio. She doesn't appear very often here, by the way. Edge of Glory, is there a reason you've chosen this?
It's possibly one of my favourite songs, and I love Lady Gaga. But this song, she wrote it about the love of her grandparents. So it's quite special, the message of the song.
Lady Gaga, Fine Music Radio. How about that? Edge of Glory. You laugh, Matt. She's not normally on our playlist, shall we say. Matt Kashan is my guest. He's the choreographer and assistant director of Cats. And we are talking about that remarkable musical. I mentioned many of the shows you've been in your life. But I see you've also done television and film. How do you enjoy that sort of discipline, which is so different, isn't it?
Yes, really different. I mean, it's still my bucket list to be in a movie musical, because as I said, you know, that's what made me want to do musical theatre. Yeah. And it hasn't happened yet, which I was very close one time. It didn't work out. So that's still a little bucket list for me. But the TV and film that I have done, yeah, it's so different. Obviously, I filmed Penny Dreadful. That's the whole thing of having to be there at 5 in the morning, you know, makeup, then sitting around for hours until everyone's ready, dancing. We did a waltz ballroom scene, you know, doing it again and again. No applause at the end, you know, it is so different.
That's interesting that you said that, isn't it? Because the applause at the end must be important for you as a performer live on stage.
Yeah.
Just that feedback.
Yeah, and I do. There is an element of, I think, all performers, even though maybe not, we don't all want to admit it, but it's definitely why we do it. It's that validation, that applause, you know, the feeling that you get from that. That's why, I guess that's why I keep coming back. That, yes, you know, that is a big part of it. And yeah, you don't get that when you do film and
I always
TV.
Like the curtain calls in shows, whether it's theatre or musical or opera or whatever, when the various actors come on and they get their own applause. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some are, as the applause is much more hysterical for the more principal characters. But that must be a special moment as well. It's the end of the show.
Yes.
The audience has loved it.
It is. It really is. And that's an amazing part of Cats, because Cats is an ensemble piece, even though, you know, we have Grisabella is the lead, in quotes, you know. But so when we bow, we don't have that where everyone has a individual bow, so we do have individual bows, but you know, it's not built up so the lead bows last. Is that every single company member has the same bow.
Remind
which
me,
I love.
Remind me who sings Memory?
Grisabella.
Grisabella, yeah.
Okay. So she is our lead, but actually the show is an ensemble piece, so the bows reflect that, which I love.
Yeah. And with the putting on of the makeup and the costumes and all that, which is imminent. We're recording this a few weeks before it all happens here at FMR. It's the cast excited? This young cast?
Yeah. It's really joyous to watch that excitement they have. I mean, the first day was the nerves were out of control. I mean, I was nervous too, but you can just feel this energy. And I think the fact that the show hasn't been here for a long time, it's really amazing to hear their stories of, we ask them like their connection with the show. A lot of them had seen it as a young person and you know, it really inspired them to perform. And they're just so happy that they're now getting to do it.
You've got the star of Joseph in your show, Dylan.
Yes.
Who played Joseph for Peter Tureen.
We saw it.
Did you see it?
I think he closed on the Saturday. We watched the Friday.
So you did see him on
We saw
stage.
Him, yeah, because it was the first. He had a crossover for the first week of rehearsals.
Right. And what role is he playing in this?
He's playing the Rum Tum Tugger, which is a great part.
Rum Tum Tugger?
Yes.
Okay. Can I ask you now, you said you're going to have a holiday in Cape Town, Matt?
Yes.
Before you go back, then what do you go back to?
I go back to Christmas with my family.
Yes, of course, in the Northern Hemisphere.
And then the life of a gypsy. We'll see what comes
next. So you haven't been booked for anything after
this? No, unfortunately not. So anyone out there?
Well, we want you to come here to do La Cage aux Folles, remember? Don't forget that. But let's end then, Matt. It's been great talking to you and talking to a choreographer of a show like this rather than, for example, a ballet choreographer, which is quite different, as you know. But would you ever do ballet, by the way? Was that completely out of your
métier? that was never. I think I started dance a little later in life. I think if I, but you know, you never know, do you? I think if I'd started earlier, I've definitely probably had the facility and the body type for ballet.
Yeah.
But I also know people that started ballet really young and then they hated it by the time, you know, and they were probably good enough to be professional. But so you never know. But I'm quite happy with the way my journey went. But I just started ballet probably a little too late
to
do that.
Well, you've got the triple threat, so that's what's important. Yes. So we've got Judy Garland to end. Tell me about this, Life as a Bowl of Cherries.
Well, I was thinking there's like kind of three reasons. One of the reasons is it being Judy Garland was when I was playing Munkerstrap in Cats, I would always listen to Judy Garland when I was doing my makeup to get ready. So that was the connection with Cats that I thought should be a Judy Garland song. Life as a Bowl of Cherries, the song, was actually in a show called Fosse, which was another really big moment for me. So it's the same choreographer director as Chicago, and it's that same style of movement that really spoke to me. And that was, again, all around that time where I made that decision to focus on dance and why I went to Studio Centre.
Mm-hmm.
So Fosse being another big show in my life, and that song Bowl of Cherries is in Fosse. And then also just the sentiment of the song is, I think, very important.
And Judy Garland.
And Judy Garland,
yes, of course.
And I should try and live my life a bit more, I think, like the sentiment of the song.
Okay. Well, that means we're going to listen even more closely now to the to the words of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Cushan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's great to meet you. Welcome to Cape Town. Enjoy your week's holiday.
I will.
It'll be summer. It'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly looking forward to the show. So thanks for coming through.
Thank you very much.
Matt Cushan is the choreographer, assistant choreographer. Cats opens on the 10th of December and is here for Christmas and New Year and into January. And now here's Judy Garland.
Life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't take it serious. Life's too mysterious. You work, you save, you worry so, but you can't take your dough when you go, go, go. Keep repeating, it's the berries. The strongest oak must fall. The best things in life to you were just loaned. So how can you lose what you never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries. So live and laugh at it all. Keep repeating, it's the berries. You know the strongest oak has gotta fall. The sweet things in life to you were just loaned. So how can you lose what you never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries. So live it, love it. Wiggle your ears and think nothing of it. You can't do without it. There's no two ways about it.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.